Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And my very special guest is Christina England. Now, Christina, you were talking about Eli Lilly funding something to do with ADHD or whatever.
Yes, that's right. They fund very heavily the support group in Great Britain. It's called ADDIS. That's Attention Deficit Disorder Information Services. That's one. It's quite hard to remember all that. But, so they have been funding sleep studies and all sorts of things for a very long time. This was one of the organisations that completely destroyed Lisa Blakemore Brown. She was set up by them, basically, because in her book, she's actually mentioned Eli Lilly, and she's mentioned vaccines and autism. Her book was really on autism. It was called... It's called Reweaving the Autistic Tapestry, and it's one of the most fantastic books I think I've ever read. She's a very unique and talented professional. She still does work in the autism field, but not so much. She's had to stop a lot of her work because her reputation was completely ruined. I mean, she's still a wonderful, wonderful professional. And she was speaking out about that. Vaccine. She was the first person to ever connect Munchausen syndrome by proxy, vaccinations, and autism as a group of three, because she was seeing an awful lot of parents being falsely accused of Munchausen's by proxy when their children were actually vaccine damaged and had autism. And she wrote about it in several big papers and several different places. And what she was saying, the UK government just did not like what she was saying. And there were several different ways of actually destroying her. I was actually a witness in a hearing. And what I saw going on at the British Psychological Society, what I actually saw go on behind the scenes, the average person would not believe the lies, the deceit, the complete corruption. You know, saying that she sent stuff in when they hadn't asked her to, when clearly they had. There was emails actually asking her for specific stuff on David Southall and Professor Roy Meadow. And when she sent it in, they made her look paranoid by saying, oh, well, you know, we didn't ask her to send all this. She was sending all of this, you know, irrelevant information. And it couldn't have been more relevant if it was so relevant. But of course, they didn't want that to be shown up, and they didn't want the truth to come out. And it was easier to call her paranoid and destroy her reputation than to actually admit it. She did win her case, but it was on a technicality. It was on appeal. The same happened to Jane Donegan, Dr. Jane Donegan in the UK. She spoke out in an MMR trial. She was on the side of mothers, two mothers that were fighting the fathers of their children. The fathers wanted them to be vaccinated with the MMR. The mothers didn't. And the judge called what she was saying junk science and reported her to the GMS, which is the General Medical Council, for peddling junk science, and that she was unprofessional, and it was professional unprofessional misconduct or something.
I don't like this whole methodology of calling people unprofessional, or, you know, oh, you're not being professional. I don't like it. You know why? Because the world's currently run by professionals. How's that working out for you?
Yes, exactly. And they are being called unprofessional. Anybody that connects vaccinations and autism or any disorder, whether it be diabetes, and I know of people that have children that have become immediately diabetic as soon as they've had vaccines. I've got two cases in court. I help lots and lots of people at the moment, parents that have been falsely accused. That's what I really prefer to do, and that's what I try to do. I write stories on vaccination truth, or VAC truth, it's called. about different cases. I expose different issues. I get hold of news stories and expose the truth. And I've got two cases, one in South Africa in court, on trial for murder of shaken baby syndrome, which is another thing that they're accusing parents of shaking their babies and causing the triad of injuries when there's no other injuries at all on the body. And if these children were shaken as violently as they're supposed to be, there would be neck and back injuries on these children. There are no neck and back injuries. These children are very young. A lot of them don't have head support, support of the neck and the head. And so the head and neck would be going like, you know, the clappers, really. And if they were being shaken this violently, and there's no other injuries, there's no bruising to the body, there's no other injuries at all. I've got a couple that are on trial for murdering their little girl after she was 5 months old. She'd already had 21 vaccinations. I mean, 21 vaccinations by the time she was 5 months. And then she had the 8 vaccinations, which unfortunately did finish her. So it killed her. And they've been accused of murder. They're both on trial for murder. And they're looking at life sentences. I haven't heard from them for a considerable amount of time. They went into their court case at the end of September, so I would presume that they are now behind bars, as I haven't heard any further from them, and we were in daily contact. Now the family's in the UK, and that child was damaged after an MMR and started to fit and dropped unconscious and had either a bleed to the brain or a swelling in the brain, and he's been accused of murder as well. And he's on trial. His verdict comes tomorrow. They didn't let him have any witnesses on his side. He wasn't allowed any experts at all on his side. His mother was his only witness, and she was only allowed on the stand for 10 minutes. How is that a fair case? All the other experts from the hospital, they had days and days. This case has gone on for about 3 weeks now, and all the other experts have spoken, but we weren't allowed to have any experts on our side, and they didn't give him any time to write reports, because on both cases, the medical records went missing. And they had no medical records. But the experts, the other side, they managed to have the medical records to actually work with. So how is that fair, Charles? How is that justice?
Oh, that just sounds awfully convenient.
Oh, very convenient. They always lose them. Oh, the other thing that the couple in South Africa had was they had a CD of brain scans, but oh dear, they couldn't open the CD. Nobody could open the CD. So nobody could actually look at the brain scans. I had three or four up ready to do expert reports for them, and the same for the UK family. I've got two experts waiting on tap, Dr. Michael Innes and Dr. Vera Scribner, both wanting to be witnesses, both wanting to be experts in their case, and haven't been able to, because in both cases, these experts were in both cases, involved in both cases, they haven't been able to have the medical records to do them. I managed to get the medical records to Dr. Vera Scribner and Dr. Michael Innes 2 days ago, but the verdict is tomorrow. It was not enough time for them to write a report.
Can I also state as well, not only is the system itself stitched up by these major pharmaceutical companies, but all of the processes in which you're supposed to get justice, they stack the deck against you kind of thing. They make it almost impossible for you to get the truth out. You know, it's like, oh, well, you've got to do things in a proper way, in a proper way. What? You mean, when you say a proper way, do you mean a scumbag way? Do you mean a scumbaggery way? The way, what kind of way are we talking about? Like Carlito's way? What kind of way are we talking about here? This is unbelievable. These people are completely full of steaming piles of something that you can't mention on FCC regulated radio. There's the difficulty.
Exactly.
Right, they're in, isn't it? They're professional. They've got the methodology down.
I remember on my webinar, when I did the webinar for the Delta Project, I showed a very slight clip of the Bugs Life film, for the three-tier system, I was explaining how the three-tier system worked. And The Bug's Life is it's a Disney film. And part of it was a very humorous part where the ants had come against a problem. They were the workers. They were the technologists in this three-tier system. And you had the three tiers, you could see the three tiers very clearly, you could see the pyramid, and it was a Disney film, and they came across a problem. They couldn't get around a leaf that had fallen down, and these other insects came running down the hill saying, "We're trained professionals, don't worry, we're trained professionals, we'll help you out of this spot." And it was so funny, and that is why I actually put that clip up, because it was just hilarious how they came rushing down this mountainside, screaming at them that they were trained professionals and they knew better than anybody else. And don't worry, they would sort it all. And this is like the world it is. It is. The world is run by professionals who think they can sort everything. And, especially in court systems, we don't stand a chance, because once you're accused, that's it. Everybody puts on the rose-tinted glasses, what Lisa used to call the Lisa Blakemore Brown, that is. She used to call it the rose, the Munchausen's or the shaken baby syndrome, rose-tinted lenses, and everybody thinks that way. And once one professional say it, they all say it. Half the professionals are writing for these families have never even met them. I certainly know that in my own case. I had a professional write a report on me who'd never met me and never met my boys, and he was stating all these things about me. And I looked at the report and I said, "But this guy's never met me. I don't know this person." And it was because he was a psychiatrist and he'd been brought in. I said, "But if a psychiatrist has been brought in and I had to have a full psychiatric assessment in the end and came out sane and normal, much to their disgust, I said, how can a trained psychiatrist give a report on me and my boys and they've never met any of us? And they're calling me, this lady certainly has... Or they called it traits of Munchausen syndrome by proxy. How can you have traits of something? You have either got it or you haven't.
And it's because they're a traitor.
Yeah, this is it. It's all lies. It's all cover-ups. It's all, and the vaccinations, because it's so big, and if the truth was exposed completely, what is really going on, and it was taken on board, just think of the damage. Just think of the litigations and the people that could be sued and the amount of money that the government and the pharmaceutical industries would lose. They can't let it out. They can't let the cat out of the bag. So it's easier just to destroy the parents of the children and say, well, blame the parent syndrome, or blame the professionals and say, they're paranoid, they're being unprofessional, they're not doing this right, they're not doing that right. Get rid of the few that are speaking out, and then they've got their perfect world again. But the trouble is, more and more people are coming forward. There's more professionals than they can cope with now. We've got so many professionals speaking out, and I've seen through it. And I never registered with the National Union of Journalists for that reason, so that I couldn't be destroyed. Because, without a governing body, they've got no one to complain to. I mean, I've got people certainly complaining on VacTruth and saying I'm making up things to get attention, and all the same old same. But there's nothing they can do about it, because as long as Jeff is prepared to print my work, and he's not the only one. There's a lot of people that are printing my work, and a lot of newspapers and all sorts that I'm involved in now that are printing my work. And I have managed to this year expose one of the biggest stories going, I think, around the internet. It must be one of the biggest stories. And it was because a gentleman from Africa emailed me through my website. I've got a website called profitableharm.com, and he actually came in and he emailed me through my website and said, "Are you Christina England?" So I said, "Well, yes." So he said, "Can I tell you our story, and could you put it onto your storyboard?" And I said, well, yes. Yeah. What is your story? And he said, well, 500 children in our community, our small village, were locked into a school and forcibly vaccinated with, we didn't know, the parents had no idea at all. They were vaccinated with the meningitis A vaccination, Menafrac. And out of those children, 106 became very, very sick, and 50 were permanently paralyzed, having terrible convulsions, and rushed off to hospital. And I said, can you prove this? You know, thinking, well, this is a bit far-fetched. It was all to do with the Gates Foundation. And the more you found out, PATH was involved, the WHO were involved. It was just everybody, the CDC were involved. Everybody that could be involved, that were really big, were involved with this. And I said, are you absolutely sure? And he said, yes. I said, where is the story? I haven't seen the story. He said, nobody will print it. None of the mainstream media will print it. He said, but we have got it in a newspaper. And I said, well, can you send over the copies? He said to me, well, it's not on the internet, so you can't get onto it. So I said, have you got a front page of this newspaper and the actual news story? Sure enough, he emailed me the news story. He emailed me the front page of the paper. And I was absolutely astounded. This was absolutely true. And it was all hushed up.
Christina, are you there? We appear to have lost her. Conveniently, we're coming to break now. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back and try and reconnect Christina England. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Back in a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, the show that's about history repeating, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And I hope that you're all enjoying this episode, even if it's scaring the bejesus out of you knowing that there's a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbags with vaccines out there. My very special guest is Christina England. Now, Christina, where would you like to take this? Actually, more to the point, I'd like to know what really got you into this whole realm of searching and everything. Was it just the fact that you adopted your children and they were a lot more disabled than you were led to believe?
Yes, that and the fact that I was accused of Munchausen's by proxy, and I'd met Lisa Blakemore Brown. I think if I hadn't have come across this amazing lady, then I would not be doing what I'm doing today. I've written two books. The first one was published last year. That was written with, I was a co-author with Dr. Harold Bertram, and that's called Shaken Baby Syndrome or Vaccine Encephalitis: Our Parents Being Falsely Accused. It's a long title, admittedly, but it's very full. And it's done in two halves. The book is done in two halves. The book I'm doing at the moment, I don't know the title, because Dr. Lucia Tomogenovic hasn't actually told me the title yet, but that should be coming out Christmas or shortly after Christmas. And that was the one I was telling you about, governments and the pharmaceutical companies and what we actually found out on them. And my section is about Munchausen's by proxy and about the corruption and that's going on in government regarding Professor David Southall and Professor Roy Meadows.
And how do you accomplish what you have already and still retain your sanity going up against the madness?
It is very, very difficult. The story that I was telling you about.
Okay, we're having some real problems with Christina's line there. I'm not sure if AFR has the problem, but I certainly have that problem. We have her cell phone number. Are you able to try and connect her up on that? Yeah, we totally lost her. She's I sent you the cell phone number earlier. Are you going to, reconnect her with
online.
That? She's back.
Still here, yes. I don't know what happened there.
Well, hold on a second. It's like you're echoing and also cutting out pretty substantially. I don't know if that's me or it might be me. There's something, some real frustrating, like, I'm sitting here, verge pulling my hair out, incredibly frustrated with how this is going, and I don't know what the problem is. Christina, are you even there? Hello?
Yes, I am here. This does frequently happen to me, especially when I speak about Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Chad story. It happens very frequently. It's very, very annoying and very frustrating for all concerned.
Yeah, I'm starting to get their picture.
Anybody that wants to actually look at the stories for themselves, they are on FactTruth. If you Google my name, Christina England, put journalist in, and Chad Africa, that's C-H-A-D Africa, you'll find the stories there. I've done a series of five now. These children are still very ill. This happened in January. It's now October. These children have been dumped back in their village, left without any help, any support or any medication, and their parents have been left to get on with it. And this is how Bill and Melinda Gates treats children in Africa, because I mean their numbers are really just I think if they think the children in Africa and the children in the third world are just, you know, easy to sort of, they're just dispensable, they can get rid of them and no one will notice. Well, actually, people do notice, and the parents, these are still children with parents and grandparents and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles, and they are loved very, very much, and they're just as worth everything, the same as any other child anywhere else in the world. They're no different. I don't know what they're doing, but they seem to be testing these vaccinations on these children quite regularly in India and in Africa. This was a test vaccination, the Pentavalent vaccination, which caused 37 deaths in India, which is all over the internet at the moment, this story, and various other stories. I exposed some papers on FactTruth about this vaccination when it was 36 deaths. It's now 37 deaths. And this is an awful lot of children being killed with a vaccine that was being tested. And these vaccines are being tested, just like the HPV vaccine was first tested on tribal Indian children and caused absolute devastation throughout the communities. And yet, you know, they seem to not care. It doesn't matter that these children, you know, oh, well, you know, they're testing the vaccinations on them. They pay the parents peanuts, you know, for doing these tests, because they haven't got the money to live. And they haven't got, you know, the things that we have. They haven't got fresh water. I mean, wouldn't it be better if they spent their money on fresh water and better food for these children rather than vaccinations? I mean, you know...
Yeah, but that would be logical and non-psychopathic. Yeah. Plus, you couldn't make any money out of people suffering on a perpetual basis if you did that.
No, I mean, these children are, because they can't be reported, because the stories can't go onto the internet very easily. I mean, it ended up with the Prime Minister of Chad and the actual Health Minister of Chad being relieved of their duties because the story was leaked. And who leaked the story? Me. So I'm not the actual, you know, their favourite person at the moment. But I only leaked the story because I'm, a man from Africa happened to email me who was a relative of one of these families and one of these children. And his child was, the child that was a relative of his was paralysed. And he came to me with the story. Now, if he hadn't have managed to have those internet skills and be able to get onto the internet in Ajima, in the capital, then he wouldn't have been able to have told me that story and I wouldn't have been able to have leaked it. As it happens, I got footage from him, from of the Prime Minister visiting the children and everything. So we knew the story was true. We knew that they were trying to cover it up, and the WHO managed to cover and actually close Najima Airport to the public for a whole day while they ship these children on a private jet plane, and that was the WHO that did that. It's called SMEDI over there, S-M-E-D-I. They call it that because they speak in another language. They speak in French and I think I can't remember the other. There's another language they speak in. And they, you know, the WHO actually shut the airport, managed to ship all these children over for private tests and everything. And then they shipped them back and dumped them in their communities without any, you know, and they just announced to the public, oh, well, you know, it was mass hysteria. Well, mass hysteria doesn't cause children to be paralysed for 10 months. And I wouldn't believe that, and I don't think anybody that's listening to the show today will believe that for 1 minute, that children suffer mass hysteria after a vaccination and the symptoms go on for 10 months and they're still in the same state they were 10 months ago, except they've now got a rash right across their body. And I have got government papers. I have been given them. I've been given medical records, so I know it's true. And these papers were given to me by hand by the gentleman himself, because he came to London to do some work and he met me in London at the time. So it is true. We have put documents up on VacTruth. The documents are exposed as they are. And yet I was still accused by various different posters and commenters of making it up to get attention. How could I make up all of this? It was all in French. I don't even read French. I had to get a translator to manage to do it for the actual site. We actually employed a translator to do it for us.
It's a struggle, isn't it? Every single thing that you...
It is.
You know, it really frustrates me because... It occurs to me that this is how the world's structured now. If you're trying to do something good for people, you'll have opposition the likes of which you've never conceived of in your life. If you're trying to mess people round, deceive them and destroy their life, suddenly you get all the support you need.
Absolutely, yes. I've been dumped with my boys. I mean, I love them to bits, but I have to do absolutely everything for them. Because I get no support. I have got one social worker who comes in about every 6 months. However, she's employed originally to see and acknowledge Nicholas's behaviour. And she is blind and she comes in with a guide dog and a carer. So, I mean, she's a lovely, lovely person. And don't get me wrong, but is she right for this family? No, she's not. She's no use to me. Because if she can't, you know, actually see his behaviour and can't see what's going on in the family, how can she actually, you know, be any use to us as a social worker?
It's quite insane. Let me see if I've got this straight. You've got a bad social worker and, of course, you can't get rid of them. Kind of like a rash.
Yes, exactly.
Did it occur to you that maybe that social worker has been placed there purposefully?
Very possibly. It was quite funny, really, because when the actual case conferences were going through when I was accused, I was offered respite for the boys. I did just say that I would have it eventually, because they said that if I didn't agree to it, they would take it, but take them away. So eventually I did agree to 2 hours respite a week with these people. And it turned out that the woman actually worked for social services, and she actually was on the child protection team. However, it was her husband that was actually coming to the family. Well, as it happened, the husband got on with the boys terrifically, and we actually made very good friends with the family that they were with, because she said that they couldn't have a better mother. She said that I was a brilliant mother. And so it sort of backfired on them, because they came in hoping to find all this rubbish out about me, and they didn't, because I was coping very well with the boys, even though I'd been left on my own and I've had no support and no help. And parents, I'm not the only one. Parents with autistic children are dumped on. We are left to get on with it ourselves. But if we cope, great, then they can just, you know, ignore us and get on, you know, and forget we even exist and our children even exist. And the ones that cry and scream for help, well, they get accused and invariably have their children taken away from them.
And what do they do with those kids once they've been taken away? Because I've heard of pedophile rings and so on and so
forth. Oh, yes, absolutely.
In the UK and in, what's it called, the Netherlands apparently has a really notorious government-backed pedophile service, enslaved child slave labour kind of thing.
Well, we certainly have it here, definitely. I don't know if you know the Holly Gregg story. I mean, you must know the Holly Gregg story. Everybody knows that one, yes. I know Holly, I know her mother. And that girl is telling the truth, 100%.
I really want them on my show as well. There's somebody else that you were able to get on my show who wrote a book or something about everything being toxic, and Holly Gregg and her mother as well. I would really love to have them on the show too. There's so many people in this world who have really incredible stories, and even if they have been told 100 times, they still need to be told 1,000 times more, because they're so traumatic and so painful and so difficult for people to accept that they need to have them repeated to the truth to them 1,000 times over before they believe it.
Yes, I don't know if I can actually get Holly and her mother on the show. I think I might be able to, certainly. I mean, I do know them personally, and I have written one article about their case. I did it from a different angle. I did it about professionals writing reports that have never met the family. They had a psychiatrist write a report on them that hadn't met the family at all, this is happening all the time. Certainly Anna Rogers, who wrote The Toxic World and the book, I can definitely get her on the show. In fact, she's coming to be at my place tomorrow. I'm meeting her at home tomorrow. We're having a day out with her and her daughter. So, yes, definitely she could. She would definitely go on your show. She's a lovely lady. Very interesting. Has a lot to say. She, like everybody else, came into it because she was very badly damaged with lead when she was very tiny. She actually covered her body in lead paint, painting her body because, you know, as children do, didn't realise the dangers, and she got toxic poisoning. And it was because of that that she ended up coming to where she is today. And she's a marvellous woman. She's got a lot of stories to tell, and she's a very, very intelligent woman. Even though she's very young, she's very, I would presume she's in her late 20s, early 30s, if that. But she's very, very intelligent, and her site is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. It's missecoglam.com. She does have a lot. I've written on her site a few times as well.
Well, can you ask her as well? I mean, being so intelligent, it actually becomes, I've found, the harder it is, because you figure out so many bad things that are going on all the time that it's almost like you get your head full of this crap. And I think the mind is like a toilet bowl. You've got to flush out that crap from time to time, otherwise you get some form of blockage. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the breed of uranium in the mortar? What you know about AIPAC controlling the reporter? What's wrong with the world? People kill people that other people command. Middle East is a modern day attack on the native land. Project eugenics planned on the common man. Expand the military industrial complex. Annex foreign soil with chemical objects. Vex messiah for attacking your conscience. Next.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go freaking nuts. Speaking of genocide, there is a rapper called Genocide, whose songs that we play on the show very now and again. Genocide.wordpress.com is the website if you want to go and listen to his anti-New World Order rap songs. Because let's face facts here. When you're in a war against a bunch of psychopathic, criminal, sociopathic scum who have no creativity, bear in mind that artistically messing with them is one of the best weapons ever. At least I feel so anyway. Christina England is my very special guest. Welcome back. We only have one segment left. I'm dying to know what you'd like to round us off with.
I think the meeting in New York would be quite interesting to round you off with, because that's what I've just written on. There's a meeting tomorrow morning in New York. The mayor has called the meeting because he has decided in his wisdom that children under five that want to go to daycare have to have the annual flu vaccination and the pneumonia vaccination. And he decided that these two vaccinations were absolutely the ones that they needed to have. Now, what he didn't check out was that the vaccines were compatible, because the flu vaccine that's being really used the most for children, for the younger children, is the FluMist, which is the one that you sniff up the nose, the nasal vaccination. And apparently, according to literature on the sites, which I have exposed, it actually says that there has been no safety studies to whether this particular type of vaccination is actually compatible with the other vaccination that he wants to recommend. So he's gone about, he's arranged his meeting, it's a public hearing, and people can, all the information is on VaxTruth, on the meeting. And people can go along and give their opinions on what they think and what they feel about vaccinations on both sides of the fence. I should imagine there'll be people telling both sides. Sally Elkadoy is one that's Christina, a good friend of mine, and she, yeah?
I really don't like it when people say, oh, we're going to hear from both sides. There is no both sides if one of the sides is a lie and one of the sides is the truth. There's only two sides and both people are telling the truth, but their stories are a little bit different.
But if people hear the lies, they can make it up for themselves. They can, if people research, and all you have to do is research. If people bother to research, they would learn what I've learned, what you've learned, and what people are learning every day, that the vaccinations are poison, that they are weapons of massive destruction, exactly what Dr. Rebecca Carley has said time and time again. That it is genocide. They are looking to kill up to 90% of the population, so they have 10% left for the New World Order. And this is what I believe.
This is another element.
Believe.
See, this is the element that really frustrates me as well. That's the truth of it. And we've got plenty of evidence to suggest that, plenty of quotes from high-up vaccine promoters that's actually what they're for.
Absolutely.
Okay, so at the end of the day, though, you have lots of other people who know what we know but won't say that kind of thing out in public because, oh, people will think we're crazy. Look, mate, I'm telling you what. If you're not telling the 100% between your eyes freaking truth and you're expecting to expose the lies of the system by not telling the truth in entirety, then you are crazy. Doesn't matter whether or not people think you're crazy for telling the truth, you are crazy to think that not saying it will actually get you somewhere.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm past caring now. I've already been accused of Munchausen's by proxy. So probably, I'll be accused of being mad, being paranoid.
Either that or should be... you just kind of got cut off there, Christina. Could you repeat yourself, please?
Yes, I mean, people, we are going to be called crazy. We are going to be called mad because they want to cover it up. And it's easier to call us mad and crazy than admit what we're saying is the truth. They will let both sides, as I say, into the meeting to hear both sides. Hopefully, people like Sally Elkadoy will be able to do a good job. I mean, she's a brilliant professional. She probably will do an excellent job. I don't doubt her for a moment. And she'll tell it as it is, that vaccinations are poison. Vaccinations, I mean, children are already getting, 38 vaccinations in the USA alone before the age of five. So, you know, two more, that is 41 vaccinations before the age of 5. I mean, is that normal? We've got more illness, we've got more disability, we've got more autism, ADHD, diabetes, obesity, you name it, we've got it, childhood cancers. We never had all that before all the vaccinations. And that's
I can think of hardcore heroin addicts that have less injections in a 5-year period than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Why do children need all these? I had the actual Indian schedule out. In fact, truth is another article I wrote. I've actually got the Indian schedule written up. Do you realise that Indian children have, before the age of 5, 8 doses of polio vaccination? 8 doses of polio. And there's still polio out there because the vaccines are causing the polio.
Oh, the vaccines also, there was a reaction as well. The polio mutated, apparently, into chronic fatigue syndrome. So instead of permanently paralyzing you, it semi-paralyzes you for the entirety of your life, for which you can be prescribed drugs for the entirety of your life.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, now they've discovered that the vaccinations are causing vaccine-induced polio, which is now they're calling AFP. I don't know what the actual letters stand for. I can't say what the letters stand for. But there's so much that's being covered up that is coming out now. And you've got people like Mike Adams on Natural News. You've got Alex Jones speaking out. You've got people like yourself speaking out. And people are speaking out. They are realising what's happened. And we've got more and more. This is why they want to stop all the media on the internet from speaking out. They're trying to close all the internet media. They're trying to stop journalists like myself because they're saying that we're not proper journalists because we're not being paid for being journalists. Well, I am getting paid some money, not very much, but I am getting paid to be a journalist. I am fully qualified. I did go to university. I have got my degree in journalism. So therefore, you know, I am allowed to do what I'm doing and I can do it legally. So, but they're trying to stop us from doing that. They're trying to stop everybody that's speaking out on the internet from doing that. And they're trying to, you know, put the web of trust on Facebook accounts. I mean, nearly all my articles have the web of trust. It will come up. If you went onto Facebook and went onto one of my articles, mostly you've got the web of trust sign come up. Don't trust this website, etc., you know. All you have to do is click ignore and you go straight onto the articles. The articles can be trusted. Fact truth can be trusted because we do tell the truth and we tell it as it is.
I think that's good. And what I find interesting about telling the truth, you get ridiculed from one side of the scumbags and so on and so forth, but you get praised and followed by the other side of people who are good, decent, and can still think. You know, isn't that wonderful? You put your flag up, not only do your enemies know where you are, but so do your allies. And that's really good. I like that. I've had this experience myself, Christina. In fact, I just looked at the Alexa rankings for my website. Instead of being in the top 1 million websites in the world, it's gone up 280,000 places. I'm now in the top 700,000 websites in the world. So that's not bad. And that's what happens. That's really what happens when you tell the truth, really care about people, and have people appreciate it. That's I think, because the more popular I get... The more popular I get, the more I can help people like you, Christina, and that's actually really my objective. It doesn't fame for me. It doesn't really matter unless it actually gives me the ability to help people as a result, and it does. And thank you very much for coming on the show with me today. Do you? Can you please give out your websites before we go? We've got about 30 seconds.
Yes, my website where I write mainly for is vactruth.com. That's VAC. Truth,
truth.com. It's very late at night, ladies and gentlemen. Give her a break.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning here. Yeah, vaxtruth.com and profitableharm.com is my website that's on vaccines, and it's got adverse reactions on it. I've tried to make it as a sort of balanced as I possibly can because of the fact that, you know, it will be pulled if not, but it's mostly adverse reactions to drugs and vaccinations, and it speaks about homeopathic drugs as well and homeopathic vaccinations. Because there are them.
All right. Excellent. Christina England, ladies and gentlemen, you can catch the archives at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Also search Vinnie Eastwood, Christina England on YouTube, and we'll get the version of the show up there as well for you to share around. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your donations, ladies and gentlemen. And please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and subscribe. $5 a month today. Support the broadcast. See you again.